little advice for you this morning in politics or entertainment, anywhere really, be liked. And we're not talking about Facebook here.
But I want to say thank you to you. I haven't had an orthodox career, and I've wanted more than anything to have your respect. The first time I didn't feel it, but this time I feel it, and I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
That's Gidget, Flying Nun, become Oscar winner Sally Fields, wanting desperately for people to like her. Bill Clinton was always thought of as someone who desperately wanted people to like him. People pleaser, they called him. Well, it worked. How about these guys, though? Likeable, preachy, serious, presidential?
If we take the right course, I am convinced we're going to see a resurgence in the American economy that will surprise the world and that will open new doors of opportunity for those who are prepared as you are.
It's up to you to right wrongs. It's up to you to point out injustice. It's up to you to hold the system accountable and sometimes upend it entirely. It's up to you to stand up and to be heard, to write and to lobby, to march, to organize, to vote.
Two snapshots of the 2012 campaign, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. They're giving commencement speeches this week. According to former chairman of the Republican National Committee, one of these guys has the clear edge on being liked.
You cannot go into this election underestimating the one thing that has sustained this president, and that is his likability.
Likability. It's one of those intangible, moody sorts of qualities. Likability. How does it stack up against other qualities that we talk about during campaigns? Is there any way of knowing if likability or gravitas or humor or toughness or smarts are individually decisive when it comes to voters making a choice this November? John Caste joins us. He's the author of the book Mood Matters, From Rising Skirt Lengths to the Collapse of World Powers. He's also the director of the X Center, a research center for human-caused extreme events in Vienna. He joins us from his home in Vienna, Austria. John, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, good to be with you today, John.
You know, we talk endlessly about these character elements, likability. Who do you want to sit down with? Who do you trust? Keeping the country safe, those sorts of things. Is there any way to tell which of these moody kinds of things are decisive for voters, or is it more the voter's mood that matters?
Well, my own work and my own belief is that it's more the mood of the voters and the mood as a group rather than the individual mood of the voter that actually decides the outcome of these elections. And I've done quite a lot of work on how do you characterize the mood of a population. And let me backtrack half a step. I want to say what it is that I mean by the mood. And the mood is the beliefs that either an individual or a group holds about its future. It's not they're sort of momentary, sort of emotional response, but something a little bit more rational, cognitive, and long-lasting, namely, what do you believe about tomorrow?
Well, that's fascinating, because that really explains how, back during the 2000 election, Gore and Bush, the discussion was constantly about who's presidential, who's got gravitas. Bush was terribly concerned that he was a trivial character and was constantly wandering about trying to do very serious things. He got Dick Cheney to be his vice president there after the convention. But after 9/11, poof, all that sort of likability and who do you want to sit down and have a beer with went away.
Yeah, I think that actually the likability of the candidate and whether the candidate is actually going to prevail in the election or not are two pretty different things. And in general, what I've discovered is that if the mood of the population, namely the belief that their future is better than today, or the belief that the future is going to be worse, is really the deciding factor as to whether the incumbent, in this case Mr. Obama, is returned to office or kicked out. And so I've looked over the last couple hundred years of American presidential elections and tried to identify elections where there was a definite mood shortly before the election, either positive, looking forward to the future, or negative, fearing the future. And without a single exception, what I discovered is that when the population is optimistic about the future, they believe the future is going to be better than today, the incumbent is always returned to office. And just the opposite when they're fearful of the future. And I think that this happened in the last election. Mr. Obama was basically put into office not so much because he was the likable candidate, but more because the population blamed his predecessors for the fact that they were pretty depressed in 2008 and not at all happy about the prospects for the future.
All right, so these mood questions veto some of these character questions, which would explain why the reasonably likable fellow Jimmy Carter looked terribly impotent up against Ronald Reagan at a time of great fear and trepidation back in 1980. So why do campaign staffs try to engineer these likability factors and make their candidates, you know, impressive in these ways that don't seem to matter in electoral terms?
Well, I mean, I think that they make a mistake of conflating the candidates at the level of the individual as a single person, a guy you might want to go out stealing horses with or something like that, as opposed to somebody that you might feel comfortable sitting with his finger on the nuclear trigger. And I don't think that it's like in business. You know, you don't have to like somebody to do business with them. And it doesn't even matter whether you like them. What matters is you've got a deal to transact, and you want to get that deal done.
Right. And we all had a lot of fun back in high school with our buddies, but there's probably not many of them we would want actually running things, right?
Yeah, I don't know about your high school, but so I agree with you.
Well, in general, then, is there a factor, a character factor, before we go, that is more important than likability, toughness, smarts, articulation, trustworthiness?
Yeah, luck.
Luck.
Be the right guy in the right place at the right time, and when the population is ready to swing in your favor.
Who's luckier, Mitt Romney or Barack Obama? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. John Casty with a great takeaway. The most important quality, luck in politics in 2012. John Casty is the author of the book Mood Matters. He directs the X Center, a research center for human-caused extreme events in Vienna, Austria. John, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.